Mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, sisters and brothers, friends for life, won't live in the past. All I wanna do now is making it last.
It's time for another conversation. Welcome to Make It Last podcast. I'm your host, Noreen Daly, and you know, it's all about helping us to have better relationships, not just with ourselves, but with other people. Now, I am sure if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you'll recognize that I try to help people to have better relationships right across all spheres. So professionally, you know, even your spiritual relationship. And this time around, we're going to be zeroing in on our professional relationships. We're going to be talking to Wade Thomas. He's a longtime leader. He's a coach. He's a consultant. And he's author of From the Heart. Welcome, Wade.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on. And I love that opening song.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So we're going to be talking about how can one be effective, yet empathetic and compassionate as a leader. Now, what does it mean to be empathetic and compassionate?
So really what that means is, as a leader, you really got to understand your people. Instead of, you know, thinking of yourself kind of on high and you do your leadership thing, they do their work thing, mm-hmm. you got to combine with them. You got to really get to know them, understand them, and walk in their shoes. Really empathize with them. And also be compassionate. So many times, you know, throughout our history, we've been taught that leaders should be kind of isolated. They shouldn't get involved in what's going on personally with their people.
Mm-hmm.
They should be this, you know, strong, you know, figure on top.
Mm-hmm.
But really, mm-hmm. what history has also shown us is that the most successful leaders are ones that are compassionate, ones that understand what's going on with their people and are there for them. They're there to help them out. They're there to be the sounding board. They're there to give them whatever assistance they can, and just be compassionate.
I believe what I'm about to ask will probably be a nice segue into the other aspect, which, and we'll just put it all together. So there's somebody listening that will say, but then if it is that I identify too much with my people, so to speak, then the boundaries might get blurred and there might be, you know, some challenges in terms of how they relate to me. What would be your response to that?
So I would argue that in today's world, everything's blurred already.
Hmm.
So to think that we have this work person,
mm-hmm.
and this home person or life person, and they're two separate people within us,
mm-hmm.
I think we're all learning that that's not true. And so a really effective leader is somebody that's going to be able to, you know, meld the two together and really lead their people as people, not as some cog in the machine or, you know, as some employee or union member or whatever it might be. But understand that they're people. Now, does that mean that, you know, we're blurring the lines and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're becoming friendly with them and therefore we can't make the hard decisions?
Right.
Well, no. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. I think part of being compassionate is being able to make hard decisions. Just as sometimes with people, you know, with your spouse or with your family or somebody you love, that mm-hmm. sometimes you have to deliver the bad news. And sometimes you got to tell them what they don't want to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not different for the leader in a professional world.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation, but we're going to take a little break and get a word from our sponsor.
Are you struggling to become an effective communicator? Let Noreen Daly, the communications specialist, get you there. Services include communications consultancy, one-on-one coaching, public speaking and debate training, leadership and team building sessions, plus much more. Visit NoreenDaly.com for more info. Noreen Daly, redefining the way you communicate.
No. You said meld the roles together. It sounds easy, but for somebody listening who's saying, what are some of the things you would or techniques or tips or tips that you would tell somebody who's saying, I'm not sure if I am managing that whole idea of just putting those two roles together to ensure that I'm still effective? What's your response to that?
So there's a real technique to that mm-hmm. you can do, because it's not something that, well, first of all, it is something that comes natural to us. As human beings, we're meant to be empathetic and compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere as a leader, we feel that we should turn it off.
Ah.
But mm-hmm. but one, you know, a great approach is to start with is really get to know your people. And I always remember early in my career, you know, we had a turnover at the top in my manufacturing plant that I was a human resources leader there.
Mm-hmm.
A new plant manager came in. He locked his door for a week, locked himself in. I think he allowed myself and the CFO to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
But then he came out a week later and basically brought each one of his leaders in and says, I want you to come in with your teams, introduce them to me, but don't just give me their name and title. I want you to tell me personal things about them, what their family's like, you know, how many kids they have, things like that. And he sent a really powerful message. All the leaders like really hurried up and went there and all of a sudden tried to get to know their people. And but his message there was get to know them. So that's really where you start. And then the second thing you want to do is you want to really actively seek their perspective. See what is going on in their world. Take some time, walk in their shoes. You know, it's so easy for us to get caught up in like the day-to-day
mm-hmm.
tasks that we have as leaders that we kind of forget that our real mission is to lead the people underneath us. Mm-hmm. And that really does involve getting out there with them, you know, walking in their shoes, understanding what their challenges are, understanding what's going well. You know, and getting to know, you know, that not just in the work context, but also in their home context, really understanding them. And then the next step on that is you really want to kind of create an environment of psychological safety. You know, that's a word that we're starting to hear more and more about. But the idea there is you want people to feel safe to speak their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does, it creates innovation. It creates collaboration, creates trust. And that's really that environment. But in order to get there, really the big thing you can do is really consider how you handle failure. You know, that's something that we've all been, many of us have been taught that failure is bad. Yeah, that was the management thinking, you know, maybe over the past century. But it's not necessarily bad. There's really three types of failure that's out there. There's preventative failure, what I call preventative failure, and that is failure that could have been prevented.
Okay.
So you knew you were doing something wrong and you did it. Or you've made that same mistake over and over again and you keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's failure that failure is not good. That is not good failure. You know, and so you should address that appropriately. And there's a second kind that I call circumstantial failure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's really beyond your control. So we saw that a lot in the U.S. with COVID. You know, restaurants that and small businesses that went out of business for no other reason than they were shut down. Customers stopped coming. It had nothing to do with how they ran the business. So that's not failure you want to encourage, but you know, you don't want to, you know, hold somebody to the fire on that either. But the third type is the type I want to focus on. This is where most failure occurs. It's what I call learning failure. And this is failure that occurs because people tried something. You know, they tried to be innovative. You know, they tried to help the organization and they just didn't get it right. They failed.
Hmm.
And you want to encourage that because that's how you learn. The strongest learning that you have is through failure. And also what happens is, you know, if you beat somebody up for trying something new and failing, then you're cutting off any innovation that you might have.
That is true.
And if you, and even more sinister, if somebody delivers bad news to you and you cut them off, then you're probably not going to get bad news anymore, which creates all kinds of issues. So if you consider how you handle failure, you'll really get to that area of psychological safety that's just so important.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation, but we're going to take a little break and get a word from our sponsor. So, the whole idea of a branding strategy sounded so exotic and so fancy to me. But after having several conversations with Neon, I now have a clearer understanding. I am sure of what my identity is, what it is that I want people to see Noreen Daly as. Thanks, Neon. Thanks, Splint. Visit them at wearesplint.com. Now, you said something earlier about getting to know people. And then you said this is even outside of the workspace. But a lot of persons believe that to ensure that you maintain professionalism, you must always just ensure that work stays at work and home stays at home. So how then can you really get to know your people if you're of that mindset and if the people that you lead are also of that mindset?
So I think you have to challenge that mindset, you know, and that was a very prevalent mindset, I think, in the, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, mm-hmm. 70s, mm-hmm. you know, maybe into the 80s. Mm-hmm. But things are a lot blurrier now. You know, people have friendships at work. People are doing work stuff when they're at home. We all have smartphones. Mm-hmm. People are doing home stuff while they're at work. Again, we all have smartphones. And so it really helps to kind of think about it this way. If you're really going to lead them, you have to know the whole them.
Ah, you know, I love that.
There isn't just a work them. It's not just a work them and a home them. It's a whole them. And if you look at the great leaders, you know, they know who works for them.
Yeah. Are all of what you're saying in your book?
Yeah, most of it. You know, a lot of this came from, just give you a little history on the book. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I was sitting in a swimming pool one day, and I was kind of reflecting back on my career, and I had a pretty good career trajectory. Mm-hmm. I rose all the way up to a C-level executive. And I just asked myself, why did I get there? What could I tell people to help them follow the same path? And that was the basis of the book, which is called From the Heart, which is achieving epic results through building a heart-based culture of compassion and empathy.
And if somebody's listening and they want to get your book, how do they get it?
You can find it on Amazon.
Okay. So that's Wade Thomas, From the Heart.
Yep. Yeah. In fact, that's the way to do it, is From the Heart, Wade Thomas, because there's actually a fiction novel by Nora Roberts that seems to get a lot more advertising than I do by the same name.
Okay.
So put my name in there.
Okay. So as we're wrapping up, Wade, if it is that you had to, say, give a three-step process in terms of how somebody can be effective, yet empathetic and compassionate as a leader, what would that three-step process be?
I would say, know your people. Make them feel safe psychologically. Mm-hmm. And then help them remove the barrier to their success. Hmm.
Thanks so much for sharing on this podcast, Wade.
I enjoyed it.
This is Noreen Daly. This was Making It Last podcast, where it's all about helping us to have better relationships, not just with ourselves, but with other people. Until next time.
Mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, sisters and brothers, friends for life, won't live in the past. All I wanna do now is making it last. Mothers and fathers, forever, strengthening the ties that keep us together. Mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, friends forever, strengthening the ties that keep us together.